You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to give us a reason to celebrate, a reason to say, He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, throughout Holy Week, what we've been doing is we've been going through sort of the big hymns of Holy Week. And these, like, just absolute Holy Week bangers. And so, we've gone through things like All Glory, Laud, and Honor. On Good Friday, we talked about Oh Sacred Head, Now Wounded. And today, the song that you just sang a few moments ago, That song, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, that's probably one of the most used hymns on this day. So, you know, if you were to trip into just about any other church here in Tallahassee or someplace else, you probably would have heard some kind of rendition of Jesus Christ is Risen Today. And you would have heard people do that making different notes out of one syllable. You know, Jesus Christ is risen today. You start to sound sort of like a dolphin, but a very musical dolphin. And that's called melisma. It's one of the things that we really love about this song, because we get to imagine that we are sort of like Mariah Carey. And we're just, you know, kind of holding that note and bringing different undulations to it. And that song is just, it's this song that we love to sing. It's a song that has a big history, and actually kind of an interesting history, in the fact that almost every time that it has sort of changed from being a poem to being a hymn to being a kind of a tune, that all throughout there's so much anonymity in that song, everybody was just like, this is a gift, I'm going to give it to you. I don't need to put my name on it. And there's something else in that song, if you look at it, and you start to kind of think about it, that there's something that's important in that song. And it's kind of around that first line of the song. You see, the first line of the song is, Jesus Christ is risen today. Now, that's a great line. And the way that you could put that is kind of more historical, right? You could say, you know, something like 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was risen out of a tomb. Hallelujah. Right? You could kind of do that, but it wouldn't hit as well. And part of the reason for that is that there's something interesting happening in the grammar there. Now, some of you know that my undergrad was English, and so you get a grammar Easter sermon. You are welcome. That what's happening in that verse is that you have something that's called a gnomic verb. The other way to put it is a omnitemporal verb. That what's happening in that is, in just those two letters, is that there's a statement there that this is something that is in the past tense, that is in the future tense, and that is in the present tense. That it covers all of those. It's omnitemporal. It's gnomic. And that's something that applies to our celebration of Easter. Because we can get Easter kind of messed up sometimes. We can make Easter into this strictly historical thing. We can say, you know, Jesus Christ was risen. And we can absolutely believe that. And we can believe that he rose bodily from the tomb. But if we leave that sort of in the past tense, there are problems that come up for us. Because if Jesus was just risen in the past tense, if he was kind of this weird anomaly that rose out of the tomb, and that's really interesting, maybe that belongs in some textbook somewhere that we need to study, then that's really interesting, but it doesn't have much meaning for us. And what we can also do is we can say, Jesus Christ is risen. And by that, we can kind of mean that, okay, I know that Jesus is risen. And because of that, sometime in the future, this is going to be something that affects me. We can kind of switch our temporal modes. We can say it's all about the past, or we can say it's all about the future. And if we say it's all about the future, if that's what this is, if Easter is just all about the future, then you've got this coupon in your wallet where you're like, oh yeah, Jesus rose, and that means something for me in the future. But I don't know. It doesn't really mean anything for me right now. It's like that gift card that you got at Christmas that you still haven't used. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, that's there. But it's not omnitemporal. It's not gnomic. It doesn't stretch across. And Jesus's good news of the resurrection, well, it stretches across. It's not just something that happened in the past, so it's interesting. It's not even just something that happened in our present that we can say, oh, okay, well, that's at work in me right now, but I don't know what that's going to mean in the future. It isn't something that just means something for me in the future. Jesus's death, and especially his resurrection, has meaning for you, both in terms of your past, in terms of your present, and in terms of your future. I mean, that's a lot of what the other readings were about. As Peter got up and he was preaching to a whole bunch of people that weren't sure that they could even become Christians. And he was telling them the good news that Jesus Christ is risen. And that had meaning for their lives that very day and in an ongoing way. That when Paul is writing to the Colossians, that what he's writing there is that he's saying that your life is hidden in Christ. Now, if your life is hidden in Christ and Jesus is just one single temporal mode, then that's kind of bad news. If Jesus is just in the past and your life is hidden in the past, well, that's a problem. You don't want to live just in your past. Some of you try to do that, but it doesn't work out. Or maybe you're just very zen and you're like, I'm going to live my whole life in the present, man. But the problem with that is that it divorces your life from both the past and your future. And some of you are just like, I just want to live my entire life in the future, and I'm just going to let things be as they are in the present, and I'm going to try to ignore my past. All of those things, when we start to break things up like that, there's problems that happen for us. But our lives are hidden in a Jesus Christ who is omnitemporal. A Jesus Christ who is risen today. There's a author, his name was T.H. White. What he did was he actually took a lot of the sort of the stories about King Arthur, and what he did was he sort of systematized them because they kind of go all over the place, and he said, okay, well, now this is going to be it. He essentially was developing canon. He was saying, there's all of these sort of stray stories about King Arthur, and I'm going to take those down, and I'm going to say, this is really what happened with King Arthur. He did that in the 1950s, and he wrote this great series of books. And in that series of books, he translates this line out of one of those stories. This line where it comes to the death of Arthur. Where King Arthur, this great king who brought all sorts of great things to the kingdom that he was around, this totally fictitious kingdom that was sort of this idealized understanding of what it was like to live your best life now. And they took King Arthur and he died. And they took him to this island called Avalon. And as they were taking him away to this island called Avalon, they had this kind of idea that King Arthur was sort of omnitemporal, that he was sort of gnomic, that he was going to somehow come back to life. They didn't know how, but there was kind of this belief that he was just so great that that greatness couldn't be contained by the grave. And the line that they used in order to bring this out was sort of this chant that King Arthur was the once and future king. That there was something about King Arthur that stretched beyond who he was, that actually what he did would inform the kings after him. And in some ways, that's who Jesus is, but more. Because Jesus is our king. He's our king because of what he did in the past. Because he died for us on the cross. Because he forgave us of our sins. Because he rose out of that tomb. He's the king over all of our past tense stuff. That we can look back and we can look at that with assurance, and we can say that absolutely happened. In the same way that we can look back at our baptisms and we can say that absolutely happened, because the past tense matters. And then we can look into the future and we can see the future and we can say that absolutely matters as well. That Jesus is our king, not only from the past tense, but he's our king for the future. That he promises that he is going to come back one day. And on that day, he's going to usher in the resurrection. That dead people who have fallen asleep in Christ, that all of those people, that they shall rise again. That tombstones are going to be left behind. Because people are going to rise up out of their graves, that we're going to be surrounded by people that that once were dead and now are alive, and that we're going to live in this place without sin, without trouble, without frustration. It's going to be such a great thing, and that future is important. But what matters as well is that Jesus is our king now too. So when we confess that Jesus Christ is risen, that we're confessing that Jesus Christ is risen in our present, and that has meaning for us today, that when we walk out of this place, that we've just been reassured that we have eternal life because of him. That he rose out of that tomb. And that because of that past tense and because of that future tense, that our present tense lives can be different. Our present tense lives can be lived out in joy, even in the midst of suffering. Our present tense lives can be lived out in honor for one another, even though we live in a crooked world. Our future tense lives can be lived out in love for our neighbors because we know that we have first been loved. And we can do all of that because we have a God who is omnitemporal, a Jesus who rose out of the tomb to be king over all of our lives. Over our past, over our future, and over our present. And he promises us that in every one of those moments that he is going to bring to our lives grace. That when we mess up, that he promises us that he's going to be there to forgive our sins. That when we look back at our past and we say, oh man, I did some horrible stuff, that he promises us that he is king over that and that he has pardoned that. That when we look into our future and we say, oh, I know that I'm going to sin, because that's the kind of person I am, that's the kind of world that I live in, Jesus promises us there will be grace for you there too. And in our present, he promises us that in each and every moment, as we commit those sins or think about those sins, that his grace is there for us. That he has brought all of those sins and their death out of the tomb and declared victory over them. And so as we go out from this Easter service, know that Jesus Christ is risen today in a gnomic, omnitemporal kind of way. And may that bring you comfort for your past. May that bring you comfort for your future. And may it bring you comfort and meaning for your present. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through his church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.